The reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1. I'm just going to read through 13. And note, if you get your Pew Bible and it has a different number than what's in the bulletin, we have two editions in here. So you're probably in the general area if you get it. So we will now read Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led to the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during these days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord our God, your God, and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. A pastor reminded me that you can't find the word Lent in the Bible. This tradition of spending 40 days before Easter in prayer and reflection, in self-denial, in refocusing on God, didn't happen until the church had been established for a couple of centuries. In those early days, the church didn't need a Lent. They lived believing that Christ was coming again soon. They lived believing that being a follower of Christ was a matter of life and death, and that you were always on the outside, and faith was never a casual matter. Then the church around the year 300 became official. It was no longer underground. If you wanted to be a person of power, if you wanted to curry the favor of the emperor, it was good to be a Christian. Jesus didn't return as soon as the people had expected, and they started to expect a little less from God and a little less from themselves. They no longer were known for how they cared for widows and orphans. They were no longer known for their passionate speeches. They were no longer known for following Jesus into ways that were dangerous and ways that were risky. And they began to believe it was better not to rock the boat and just to fit in. Barbara Brown Taylor said they decided it was to be nice instead of holy. Then somehow the church decided that it needed to refocus itself. They were called back to their senses, called back by God, to stop treating Easter like an ordinary holiday and celebrate it as the amazing day of resurrection, of hope and joy that it was. So they looked in the Bible and they saw the number 40 came up a lot when God was trying to get the people's attention. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years as they tried to learn to humble themselves before God and to follow God's ways. The prophet Elijah spent 40 days alone until he heard that still small voice of God. And Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. So the period of Lent was developed. Lent comes from an old English word meaning spring. It remembers the spring season before Easter, but it's about a springtime in the soul, a time for new life, a time for growth, a time for people who yearn to be what God wants them to be. In these stories of Lent that we always start with on this temptation time, it's in Matthew and Mark and Luke. It takes place just after Jesus has been baptized and the Spirit has rested upon him, and that same Spirit leads him into the wilderness. And just a little help, the word fasting probably doesn't mean that you're starving yourself. It meant that one may drink just water, or one might just have a little tiny bit of food and a little bit of water. It was a time and a way to cleanse the soul, to put away worldly directions, and to pull back towards God. So the passage really isn't so much, though, about the fasting, but what happened, the temptation. Now, temptation is a complicated word. I used to think if you were tempted, it meant automatically you sinned. It was inevitable. So if you put that large bag of Lindt chocolate truffles that I got at Valentine's Day, it's there, I'm going to eat it. I mean, that's the kind of thing. But that's not really what temptation means. Temptation is a test to see how you'll do, a test to see here's a situation and you've got some time and then we're going to see how you work on it. See, there's sometimes a little bit of thought between the test and what the outcome can be. It can be a time to strengthen us, a time to find out where our weaknesses are, a time to grow, and that maybe we can make good decisions. Now, I have to admit, I don't like the word test very much because my mind goes back to school and I never liked them very much. But I want you to think about that test means that it's how we learn a new skill. To learn something new, to take on a new passion, you have to work at it. A number of years ago, one of my friends and I, well, he really decided we wanted to go kayaking in the Puget Sound. This is when we're living in the South where water is warm. And I said to him, you know, it's really cold up there and the water is strong. And I knew my friend had never been in a boat. And I said, before we go, no, and I'm not kidding. I said, before we go to the Puget Sound, we're going to take a class in Florida where the water is warm and we'll go for 3 days and we'll learn about kayaking. Because I'm not a fool in everything. Chocolate maybe, wilderness experiences, no. So we drive down to Florida and we take this class. I mean, they make us get in and out of a boat in water. I'm 5'3". It was not gracious. We have to get out in the kayak. We have to go in currents. And when we were driving home, I have to tell that both of us were the sorest we had ever been in our lives. There were parts of my body I didn't know they had muscles. And as we're driving home, we come to two conclusions. My friend decides he no longer wants to go kayaking in the Puget Sound. And I decide to buy a kayak myself. Now, I got to tell you, it took me some time to figure out how to do that kayak, trying to get it off and on my car by itself. Entertained the fishermen in the lake in my town. And then I had to learn how to do it. I had to do the kayaking with other people. It was trial and error. And now that I've moved here where the water really is cold, I have to relearn all these other things again because there's a new kind of danger. But to learn how to do something new, to have a passion, means you have to learn it, you have to test yourself, you have to discipline yourself. And we actually talk about testing and temptation every week in church in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into testing. It says, please, God, if we don't have to go there, I don't want to go there. But there is a sense, it's inevitable. But in those situations, deliver me from evil. Help me to make a good decision. Help me to live through that with some strength and some wholeness. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that temptation comes. It's like a season. There are seasons of temptation, like there are seasons of joy and seasons of ease. What we get during Lent is a time to prepare ourselves to get ready for this season. And looking at Jesus' temptation, what he discovered, what he endured, can give us some strength too. We can learn from what happened to him and how he dealt with it. And the devil in the story is very creative. Goes to where Jesus' greatest vulnerability is. He is famished. You know, just a little bit of water, maybe touch of food for a month and 10 days. And the devil plays on that weakness and says, why don't you make that stone become bread? And I bet when the word bread was said out loud, Jesus could smell it. Jesus could taste it. The devil played on his hunger, his weakness, his vulnerability. And I think that is true too, that our times of testing happens around our weak points and where we're vulnerable. I think of testing and cheating that goes in on schools. You've read the studies. There's an increase in cheating. And I think students are tempted to do that, do the cheating when they feel vulnerable, when they feel they're not prepared, when they don't know the information, when they think this test really matters in their whole lives and it's the most important thing, they need to ace it. I think when young people are well prepared, when they know they are not just about a test, when they know it's just one of many, then they make better decisions. Have you ever noticed also as grown-ups, parents, people in relationships, that when you're not doing well, when you're feeling vulnerable, when you're worrying about something, is when you kind of strike out, lash out, get a little short with the people you love? When you are feeling vulnerable, it's when you kind of, you just jump on things you shouldn't jump on. And then we say things like, oh, our family will always love us, it will be okay. Well, there's some truth in that, but we've got to be careful when we are vulnerable, when we are weak, that we don't take that out on others. It is so easy to do. Well, when Jesus is tempted in that way, tested, he says, one does not live on bread alone, but on the word and the life of God, is what he says. It's not just about food. We live and are nourished by God. I love that. He is saying we are satisfied by more than just things, more than just bread. Because sometimes we get sucked into that too, that thinking that thing will make everything better. Haven't you ever been depressed and you pull out the box of macaroni and cheese Kraft? And if you're really bad, you eat it out of the pan with a spoon because you know it's going to make you feel better? It's not bad momentarily, but that thing does not really meet that hunger we have. I remember a story about a couple in the hill country of Texas who won the lottery. And they were not uncommon for people who lived there. Dad worked in construction. Mom was a healthcare worker in a nursing home. They made do. They had lots of kids. They focused on community and church and family. They didn't have much, but they had enough. And then they won the lottery, and they became millionaires, and the kids got everything they wanted, and the parents bought everything, and the family fell apart. They got really close to the point of divorce, and it was terrible on their kids. And they were interviewed again, and they said, thank God the money is gone. Because we lost ourselves, and we almost lost our family, and we almost lost God. Because they thought that thing would make them happy, and it did not. The second test that Jesus endures is the devil shows him all the kingdoms and says, if you just worship me, I'll give you the real power. I'll make you believe. I'll give this all to you. I mean, what happens here is the devil tries to promise him something that isn't his to promise. It's one of those empty promises that this thing will make you completely happy. And we buy into those too, that this job, that if I lose weight, if I have this affair and my spouse doesn't know it, I will be completely happy. It's a time for us to say, where do we put our trust? Where do we put our hope? Where do we put our strength? And Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God and only serve him. It's saying, okay, I am not going to be led by these other things. And the third temptation, he's taken to the highest tower in Jerusalem. And he's always quoted scripture, but he said, just jump off and the angels will save you. It says in the scripture, not even one of your feet shall hit the ground. It's what he's doing is say, put God to a test on this one. See if God will do what you want God to do. And we too put God to a test. I mean, we're a little more subtle. We don't jump off buildings and say, if you really love me, you'll save me. I don't know, maybe that does happen when you're terribly desperate. But what we do more is we'll say, you know, God, I'll go back to church if you just help me with this thing. Or if someone changes, there will be the sign and I will change too. Or maybe we're a little bit, we'll say, oh God, if you just help me with this piece, I'll give more to the church. Or maybe, God, if you really loved me, I wouldn't get sick and my friends wouldn't get sick and my life would be better. See, we're kind of testing God. We're twisting God's hand. We're saying, if you do it this way, then you love me and it's the only option. Ooh, we are tempted by that one. But I've got to tell you, trying to narrow God to fit your answer will not work. Because when we do that, we don't hear, we don't listen, we are not aware of the paths that are before us because we think it's one and it's the only one. See, it's more that God promises to be with us and even during those hard times. And you may be spoken to in subtle ways. You may need other people to help you discern. You may get no answer, and that may be the answer. But the promise is that God's presence is with you. See, I think that we come to this church because we have some sort of spiritual hunger. I mean, you may come for the coffee afterwards, and it's that good, but it's not that good. I think you come here longing that there will be something in the sermon, maybe a little phrase you hear sung or some music, something in the prayer. Maybe you just come longing for the quiet that calms everything down. You come with a hunger, wanting to be fed. That's what this communion meal is about. It's a place to satisfy, to touch that spiritual hunger. It's not enough bread and wine and grape juice to really make your hunger go away. It's a taste and encouragement that says you come for strength, for forgiveness, for courage, and for hope. It's Jesus saying, one does not live by bread alone, but in the strength and the love and the way of God. So you do have some homework during the season of Lent. The homework is to pay attention, to be aware, to get ready for seasons of hard times, and also to long and get ready for this time of Easter, of great joy. Now, you can pick up some lessons from the way of Christ. You know, it's the part, what I loved about Christ is he really knew scripture. Now, he'd been studying this for 30 some odd years. So when the scripture was put before him to test him, he knew another one to do. Now, one of the ways you can prepare is to read scripture, to look at an Advent devotional you'll get there. Now, it is really easy to take an Advent devotional home, and it's a lot harder to use it. I want to admit that it's hard for the pastor, too. I have to make myself read things, and sometimes I get something out of it, and some I don't, but at least it fills me up, and then there may be a situation, or it may come back, and I'll say, aha, that one word, that was what I needed to read. So I invite you to dedicate yourself to try to actually do some reading. You can pick up a devotional. You can go on the website pcusa.org and you'll find some other resources there. I want you to hear full promises and just not empty ones in this world. And I want to remind you that we do not go into this season of testing, into this season by ourselves. For we have a Christ who has been tested like us, who has struggled, who has chosen well, who knew that anxiety of being tested, who knows what a struggle is and promises to be with us. This time of Lent is a time to strengthen yourself, to refocus your life, to hear the words of forgiveness and courage once again. God did just not do amazing things back in history. God, through Jesus Christ, still does amazing things in this church, in your life. May this Lenten time bring a springtime of growth and renewal for your souls. Amen.